Hello, once again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in program 326 today. That's 326. We have music. We have singing. We've got testimonials and a very powerful message from the Lord today that you'll not want to miss. So don't switch your dial to something that is of no value. But keep here to hear from the Lord. Keep right here on the radio dial and you'll be surprised what you'll receive from Him. It's wonderful. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, we love your outward anointing and your inward anointing. We love the discipline of the Holy Spirit, but we much rather would be led by the inward anointing of the Holy Spirit so that you don't have to create some outward discipline for us, because it's grievous, even though it's beneficial, very beneficial for us. We thank you, Lord, because you hear our prayer, and there's no variance in that. You always see and hear everything. You're like a coach. If everyone would remember that you're the coach that's sitting very close by watching the things that we do, the things that we say, the way that we receive your word, and the way that we either receive or reject your salvation. So, Lord, I pray that everyone will visualize you as a very nigh God, a God that is omnipresent everywhere and right on the scene. Lord, that you are, we'd like to visualize you. I pray that everyone will visualize you as a person sitting and watching them every moment. And the reason for that is that we will stray if we don't believe that we need to be perfect. And we know that we can be perfect because your word is perfect. It's actually perfect. And as soon as we realize that and we start receiving your word into us and that we receive to keep the word, then we know that we're going to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. And therefore, we'll have much peace. We might be very happy. We'll have much joy. And we'll not be afraid any longer to face tonight or tomorrow, because we know that, and we will believe that your word, that you are with us, that you're not only watching us as a coach, but you're within us. And there isn't any being on the face of the earth that could be closer to us than you if you're in us. Or if you are not in us, then there isn't any other being in the world other than God that could be closer to a person than Satan. It is either you, Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, living in people, or it's Satan. Because you're both spirits. You are the good spirit, and Satan is the evil one. And whoever we want to be in us and with us is the one that we're going to spend eternity with. Lord, let everyone receive that today, that the souls out in the world will be saved and the church strengthened in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now here's Fag Springman, one of my very favorite singers, because he sings gospel songs. You hear all these, modern type singers, but they don't have, I just don't sense the Holy Spirit in most, especially these rap songs. Some of them have a message in them and everything, but I love the way the sincerity, because the Lord is not a rapper, never was, never will be, and the Lord is not a modern. He's so far ahead of what people call modernism today that it's just ridiculous to even speak about it. He is the modern one, and everyone else is behind, because the Lord tells us what's going to happen in the future. He told us what happened in the past, and he tells us what's happening today, and he tells us far into the future is what's going to happen. And so, in order to be with the Lord, we have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death sometimes. sometimes we have mountain peak experiences, you know, and sometimes it's just like a, it seems it's not monotonous because we're always speaking to the Lord, and the Lord is always telling us minute by minute, moment by moment, second by second, everything that we need to know and do. And Jesus was the first one that walked. And there's so few people in this world that walk that way that you have to purpose in your heart that you might be lonesome so far as people being with you. But you needn't be lonesome at all because I'll never be lonely again because the Lord is with me. Jesus said, I'm not alone. But he was alone as far as people were concerned. He had a few disciples, but they didn't really understand everything that he was saying until he actually began dwelling in them after his resurrection, ascension, and after he became the life-giving spirit and descended into their bodies so that there'd be many people that would be the incarnation or the continuation of the Lord's incarnation here on earth. So Jesus walked that lonesome valley, and here's Fake Springman to sing it.
Jesus walked this lonesome valley. He had to walk it by himself. I got to stand it by myself. Oh, nobody else can stand it for me. I got to stand it by myself. I got to stand it by myself. By myself.
Susie told me that all of her life she was extremely lonesome. That's what and she, so far as people are concerned, she said there was nobody that she could really talk to other than the Lord until she met me. And the only reason for that is I believe without a doubt that it was because of the fact that I had the fear of the Lord and was as interested in the Lord as she was. She really walked a long, lonesome valley, and she says, we can talk to each other, and, you know, we have the same sense of humor, and we love the Lord the same, and we were very fearful to do anything that would anger the Lord while she wasn't sick. When she became ill, I believe it was partly my fault because she wanted me to preach, and I knew that she had been saved 25 years longer than myself, and I just didn't feel it was right for me to preach. There's so many people that want to preach and teach before the Lord has made them ready for it, before they've made themselves ready for it, actually. Because we have to physically take up the cross and follow the Lord, and we have to if you want to get into heaven, that is, you have to deny yourself. So many people are preaching today, you know, this God wants us to enjoy everyday life. Well, there's these valleys that we have to walk through, and if you keep teaching people that they have to enjoy everyday life, well, then they'll never get on the right track with the Lord. And there's just all kinds of funny things they talk about. But when you're really in the gospel, you're really going to be persecuted. And they think being persecuted is that you can't buy a new dress or something like that. That isn't what I'm talking about. All that are in Christ Jesus, or living a godly life in Christ Jesus, will be persecuted. And that goes without saying. It's printed. It's the Word of God. It's right in the Bible. So when we see Jesus face to face, I mean, when we look at the Word of God face to face, it's supposed to reflect into us so that we become just not an imitation of Jesus, but just exactly like Him. When we see Jesus face to face, and that happens when we become perfect, when we look at His Word and we absorb the Word of God into us to the point of where we're actually doing what He says, we're not enjoying everyday life out as the world enjoys everyday life, but what we're doing is enjoying everyday life in the Lord, in the spirit realm. Amen?
Amen.
Because, you know, I really enjoy everyday life with Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah! I mean, it's just a whole different slant. You know, one of these preachers today are preaching it one way. You know, go out. One of my heard T.D. Jakes or whatever his name is saying that if you when you go to New York, you gotta, you know, go to the Broadway shows. You got to get down there on Broadway. You have to go to the fine hotels and the restaurants and stuff. Otherwise, you don't know New York. Well, these are things I did before I was saved. Amen?
Amen.
But what it talks about, I mean, you're not supposed to know New York. You're supposed to know the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That's the important thing. I know New York like the back of my hand. Of course, since I've been saved, a lot of the places have closed down, like Basin Street East. And even before that, the Stork Club and a lot of other places. I used to hit those places every night. But I never brought any peace in my life at all. But the Lord spoke to me. He turned my ears off, and then He spoke to me in the Spirit and made me know that He really exists. And when I was starting to doubt that it was really the Lord doing that to me, He started pulling the breath in and out of my body. And He was telling me, stand up and tell the people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that He's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And so, well, when I was doing it, and then He started pulling the breath out of me, I did it. And it's a long story, and I've done that in two pieces of literature called Signs of the Time and Dry Bones, of my testimony of how I was really into the world. It seems like a lot of these supposed to be Christians are instructing people to get to know New York, man. Come on, get into New York. Get into the scene, you know. Well, that place is a big garbage dump. Yeah, that's called it the Big Apple. But I call it the Rotten Apple. Amen?
Amen.
You can't walk down the Broadway without being hustled for drugs. One thing or the other, and they also used to call New Orleans the Big Easy. I don't think it's so easy anymore, huh? Mm-hmm. After the Lord dealt with it. A lot of people say it's the Mother Nature doing that to them, but it's not. It's the Lord, and the Lord brags about that all throughout the Bible, that He's the one that sends these destructions down upon people that continue wanting to be witches, that continue wanting to be Muslims, that have a doctrine that they should kill Whitey and that they should kill the Jews. You know, God sends tsunamis to people like that in Indonesia and just sent them another disaster over there, and He's going to keep sending it to them until they convert to Christianity. All right? Because there's no name given among men whereby you must be saved but the name of Jesus. And you can get as angry at that as you want, but God's going to send something to you and you're not going to like it. Okay, so when we look face to face and we see Jesus, we see him by reading the word, and that happens when, so we become perfect. When we do that, we become perfect when we look into the Word of God and do what he says. You are my friend if you do everything I tell you. Otherwise, you're not my friend. If, you know, that's the small word with a big meaning. Amen?
Amen.
Well, we have some testimonials here that read into the Lord and met him face to face and have said, from reading my literature, isn't that something? Or maybe Amen. Listening to my radio broadcast. And they became born-again Christians because they knew it was the truth. They checked what I was saying out through the Bible, many of them, and they're saved now. And they're on their way to heaven so long as they continue reading the Word and doing what it says to the end. And if they do the same Spirit of God that was in Jesus, the body of the human Jesus, who was also God, because the Spirit in him was the Lord, and the Spirit in me is the Lord as well. You say, it's not? Well, then what am I doing preaching the gospel? I wouldn't be preaching the gospel if it wasn't the Lord in me doing it. I couldn't preach the gospel if the Lord wasn't in me doing it. And I couldn't be preaching it as straight as I do. You see a lot of people pretending to preach the gospel, but what it is they're preaching false doctrine. And those people are not preaching the gospel. They throw a little bit of the gospel in there to make it look like it's real. And then they tell you, well, enjoy everyday life. Or, you know, because the Lord wants you to enjoy life. This life that we have in this world is not life. Life, when we accept Jesus into our heart, it becomes the spiritual life. And we have to deny ourselves the things of the world. Not enjoy them that much. There are things in the world that we can enjoy, but not to make a career out of it. Like, for instance, the good food that the Lord gives us to eat. I mean, we see that in the 8th chapter of Mark, it talks about the Lord feeding thousands of people. And before he was able to, every time the Lord was going to eat some of the good food that was provided here on earth for us to eat, the Lord would pray and thank God. He would give thanks for the things, which everybody just takes for granted and just thinks we're supposed to be able to have them, and that possibly all this stuff is manufactured in some plant someplace. But it isn't. The sunflower seeds, the pumpkin seeds, which I love so much when they're raw, because they're the life for the body. And then also pine nuts that are so good, and walnuts that are not salted and cooked the life out of them, because there's life inside these seeds, and they give much better health. And the Lord was breaking bread and fishes in the 8th chapter of Mark, and gave all these different pieces of broken bread and fish to the disciples. There are very few loaves, very few fishes, and it fed thousands of people, and there was a lot left over after he got through. So blessing, asking them, thanking the Lord for your food is a very important thing. And he says that in the last days, no poisonous thing will kill you. Now, you're not supposed to, because there's so much poison in the food today. The Lord won't even allow me to eat on dairy, any kind of dairy. Sugar is poison. Candy bars, cakes, pies, cookies, and all that. It's poison. You can eat them if you want. It may not send your soul to hell, but I tell you, I know that the Lord told me it would kill me if I ate any more of that stuff. And I love the taste of it. And beef. He's told me not to eat any more beef. And of course, we don't eat pork or the seafood, such as shellfish. We don't eat that kind of stuff because it's really bad. And I'm, you know, up there in years, and I feel like a 16-year-old person. As a matter of fact, I've been in weightlifting competitions with 15-year-olds, and I blew them away because I was lifting 500 pounds more than they were. They were lifting maybe 300 pounds, and I'm lifting 600-700 pounds. And I could have went up to 1,000, but I didn't because he couldn't go any further than 3. So I know that the things that I eat, and because I'm thankful for them, because they taste so good, that I just thank and praise the Lord for it. Amen?
Amen.
Because there's such a variety of food here on earth. And, you know, we're not supposed to be involved in that, but every time I do eat, I thank God. And I look around and I see millions of people, hundreds of millions of people eating. And there's such an abundance of food that God feeds billions of people. And there's so much that the government actually pays the farmers to plow a bunch of the food underground to, so he doesn't want to feed the hungry over in Africa and India and other places. It's just sick, you know, the way that the people are. They're not even thankful. And these hungry people, if they kept the commandments, those people in Indonesia, if they'd received the Lord, who do you think brought all the abundance here on earth? It was the Lord. And, you know, I don't need to have all kinds of seasonings in my food. I love the food the way it was. It's the way it was. I mean, I love the taste of an apple. Or, like, those seeds are so, if you're not eating a lot of garbage, those seeds taste so good, you know. I mean, and you know that they're bringing health into you. And that's why I don't have an ache or pain in my body. And I feel like a 16-year-old person and probably... And I'm stronger than they are, all right? On the mass, I'm talking. Now, there's guys, you know, that train all the time and that are stronger than me, but the average person, they're not stronger than I am. I'm stronger than they are. And but the strength that the Lord gives me is a spiritual strength. That's the most important. All right, do we have any of these testimonials here?
Yes.
Where's the first one from?
From Chino, California.
All right. Is that... okay, go ahead, read it.
Dearest Pastor Tony Alamo, I have been reading a lot of your newsletters and books, and I pray for you and your families in the ministry. But what's so painful to read is how the government's injustice has jailed you and took from you. And
well, you people that read that, don't think of it as painful because everything is of the Lord. That was of the Lord, or it wouldn't have bothered you so much to see that. And there's so many other people that have been persecuted and actually murdered by this one world government. And you can see them murdering people every day. And I'm still alive. God has saved me. And I just marvel because I was in the same place that a lot of people are killed. And I'm alive. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm well.
Amen.
And I had to eat a lot of that food over there, and I still came out of it alive, and even at my age. And so, it's just like an experience that I treasure. I'm happy that happened, because I know I've got a heavenly home, and I'm not worried about the things that happened to me here on earth. All these things happened, more than this happened to Jesus. There's nobody that suffered as much as he did. And even if they did suffer as much as he did, it didn't do us any good for their suffering. The only good that ever came from anyone's suffering was the suffering of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
By his beatings, the beard being pulled out of him, beaten to a point to where nobody could recognize him as a human being, this paid for our healing. So his sufferings meant something. Amen?
Amen.
Your sufferings, my sufferings, you know. But if you're in the Lord, the sufferings don't bother you. They don't bother you. I mean, I miss my sons. I missed my wife. But, you know, that it just goes to show, if you pay too much attention, you know, to anything other than the Lord will make for you some environment outwardly to discipline you by the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know what that was, because I asked the Lord if I'd done anything wrong, and he said no. But I was in there, and I won a lot of souls in prison by being there. But go ahead and read on.
Forgive me for saying this, but they are going to try and find a way to kill you, too.
Oh, well, of course. But they did that to Jesus also. He says, you people claim to be of the Lord, but why do you seek to kill me, to murder me? Okay, then what?
My name is Anthony, and I'm a pro boxer from the city of Long Beach. And my pro boxing name is Anthony the People's Holt, or Tony the People's Holt. I'm sorry my words may sound a little hard to you, Alamo, but I'm not a good writer at all. But I was in the same madness as you were into, and now that I've been in deep studies of so many others' lives that are coming to God from your newsletters...
See, the same madness I was into, he's in prison, right? He's in the Chino, California prison. He's from Long Beach, California. And he's saying he knew that I was in prison for the gospel's sake. And he says, I'm in the same madness as you were into, right?
Right.
Okay, then what? So I explained to you out there what he means. Then what?
And now that I've been in deep studies of so many others' lives that are coming to God from your newsletters and your life's story, I'm one of the many born-again Christians. So now I'm just as you, a fighter who just keeps on fighting the many fights of the devil. And when I read about your many, many circumstances, and I read about how God has you winning in the race of everlasting life, and winning the fights of the devil in all of your situations, it truly has been the most encouraging, ministering, preaching of the truth. And I have never in my life wrote to a pastor of any kind. And I'm seeing and reading how you're fighting back with God's words and in your newsletters like another Pearl Harbor. God bless you, Alamo, and all the ministries. Jonathan told me of your help, and you have a blessed ministry.
Now, Jonathan is in our ministry, and he was in prison, too. And he was in our ministry, and then he got put back in prison because he didn't show up for a parole hearing. And all you people that are listening to my voice, make sure you go to your probation officer after you get out, because you'll wind right back up in there. And if you're having problems out in the world and you want to serve the Lord, you can come and move into our place just like Jonathan did. And Jonathan, when he went back, we kept sending him finances and we kept sending him literature, and he stated that there were people in prison that wanted to read more of my literature, so we sent it to him in Chino, to Chino. And the fight that he's talking about, he says, of the devil. No, it's the fight of the Lord. We are fighting for the Lord against the devil. That's what he means, though. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Love, Anthony from Chino, California.
Okay, Anthony, praise the Lord. We love you, too, and we'll send him more literature and keep him on the mailing list. Then what else?
Then from Sefwi Juaboso, Ghana, Africa.
Just think of all the people that are being saved in prison because I went to prison. Jesus went to prison. The Apostle Paul went to prison. Peter was in prison. Amen?
Amen.
All the disciples were in prison. And if you're a disciple of the Lord, you don't have to try to go to prison. Don't do that. We had some people wanting to get arrested when they were baby Christians years ago, but we told them not to do that. Don't worry about it. If you stay in the Lord, you're going to get persecuted. All right?
Amen.
Then what? Then what?
Dear Pastor, I am very happy to write you this letter. How are you? I hope by the grace of the Almighty God you are fine as I am.
The grace of the Almighty God means the power of the Almighty God. That's what grace means. It means the power of God living in you. If when God, Jesus with his Father by the Spirit are living in you, then you've got God's power, God's grace. Okay, then what?
I know God is working in your ministry as you win souls for him. I was very happy to read from your helpful and wonderful literature mailed to a friend of mine. Your literature I have read has been winning souls for the Lord, including me. And I want to increase my faith in Jesus. I therefore will be happy if you could arrange to send me 3 Bibles, the Messiah, and other helpful literature to be distributed to my church members, schoolmates, as well as my family members, so that any time we meet to discuss the Word of God, we can understand it well and can have faith abundantly. I hope my request will be sent. I am praying for your ministry to continue the winning of souls. Yours faithfully, Francis, from Sefwi, Juaboso, Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Well, there's just millions of people that are being saved. How many millions? We have no idea, because one person will get it and they start distributing it to all kinds of people. We heard that there's a big uproar in Hong Kong, China. That's a big city. And the same thing in Mexico City and Guadalajara and all different major cities in Germany, in Greece, Athens. People are distributing this literature everywhere, far and wide. And it's a big revival. And, of course, Satan is the loser, the Bible says. We know that God is the winner and that the devil has already lost. Now, we have some Bible reading here regarding the kingdom of heaven and what it means to be able to see Jesus face to face. And when you're receiving something from the real God, not one of these phonies like Muhammad or Buddha or anyone that has no power in them whatsoever. Jesus is the only one. He's the only way, the only truth, the only life. So we're going to read some scriptures from the book of Mark, 7th chapter, and we're starting out at verse 31, is it not?
Yes.
Okay, so let's give you a little bit of time to... this is where Jesus healed the deaf man and the dumb man, the one that couldn't speak. He had a snag on his, you know, so the Lord healed both. And this goes deeper than most people think. It isn't that we're just going to read, but I'm going to teach you some depth in the Lord today, because this word is not boring, because no word, anything that's living is not boring.
Amen.
Unless they're just a bore, a human being that's a bore, because of their rejection of the Lord. Okay, let's, the Lord shut my ears off one time, so at that time I was physically, I was not able to hear. That was in the office where the Lord spoke to me inwardly. And that's the same thing that the Lord did here. He stuck his fingers in this man's ear, and then he spoke. And the spirit of the man heard inside, and his ears were opened. So my physical ears were opened after the Lord shut them off and talked to my spiritual ears. There was a preacher I heard says, does your heart have ears? Yes, it does. You know, the spirit in you looks exactly like you'd look. Because I've seen the spirit depart from Sue. I saw her spirit departing from her in a vision. And I told her what was going to happen. And in that vision, I don't know why, but she swept her hand at me. In the spirit, I saw her. Then there's another person that I saw their spirit. It looks identical to them. The only thing is it was white. You could see through it, but it was white. And that was Marinita. I saw that very well, and I've seen that was it. And so I know that the spirit within us, it had ears, nose, mouth, eyes, everything, and the same characteristics that the body has. Because this one sister, her hands are always, when she's talking, they're up in the air, and she's just sparkling. She sparkles when she talks. And I saw that, and this is when she first came into the congregation. And the Lord showed me that, but even before that, before Susie died, the Lord showed her departing from her body, and she looked at me and swept her hand at me, and I thought it was looked like she was angry at me for something. And I don't know to this day exactly what it was. It probably was, I imagine it was because she kept wanting me to preach and help out that way in the ministry, and I never did it. But I can tell you one thing, that what you see of yourself outwardly is just a carrying case. It's like made out of clay, and it has to die, and it's dying constantly. You're deteriorating every day, and you don't know one day from the next if you're going to catch some dreaded disease, either because of providence or because of the things that you don't eat and the things that you do eat, or the possible way that you get into some kind of contamination or something, or get involved with a bunch of people, or be around people that have bad bacteria, or you're touching things on floors or doorknobs, you're not washing your hands, and somebody just before you touched that and there was contamination on them. You don't know. I reckon this is why Howard Hughes used to wear gloves all the time. He would never shake hands with anybody unless he had his gloves on. And they say he was really not in his right mind. But that much he knew anyway. All right, so we'll go into these scriptures now. Go ahead and read.
And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, Jesus came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis.
Oh, okay, so the Sea of Galilee they call Lake Kinnereth, or, they have different names for it, the Sea of Galilee. And it's actually, they call it a lake, but it's a big lake, but the Bible calls it a sea. It's so big that it's actually a sea. Then what? And I live there on the sea, in a hotel right on the sea, and then I also had an office there, and then I moved into an apartment in a place where a lot of the United Nations people stay. And I only met one of them when I was on the Sol Olympia ship that I boarded in Venice, Italy. And we docked at Haifa, and then I moved to Tiberias after I was there a few days. But go ahead.
And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him.
Okay, but the Lord, you'll see here in just a few more words that the Lord never put his hand on him. So a lot of people will tell you to do things that are, and if you're led by the Spirit, you won't do them. Like they wanted him to go see Lazarus four days before he was supposed to go there to see him, but the Lord stopped him. And the disciples started murmuring about him because he was led by the Spirit. And they, in their carnal way, were just thinking he was a bad dude because he didn't go when they said to go. And there's a lot of people in this world that are the same way. They just wonder why you don't do this or you don't do that. But if you're led by the Spirit, that's sufficient. And my reward comes not from people, but it comes from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so I listen to what the Lord says. And there's a lot of things that I preach that the average person will not preach. I don't call them preachers. If they're not letting the Lord do the preaching through them, then they're not preachers. What they are is false doctrine. And this world is not about you or me. It's about the Lord. All right?
Yeah.
You may say, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like this, I don't want to go here, I don't want to... This is not about you. Who cares what you like and what you don't like and all these different things? All I'm concerned about is, what does the Lord like? I don't want to offend him, because the Bible says if we offend one of his littlest ones, ones that really walk by the Holy Spirit, then it's better that a millstone, the size so big that it'd take an ox to move it, would be hanged around your neck and that you'd be cast into the midst of the sea. So I'm not concerned about, and Jesus wasn't concerned, these bunch of people, sweaty people, were telling him to lay hands on him, telling him how to do the work of the Lord. Do you believe this? He's the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And they're telling him what to do. Isn't that sick?
Amen.
All right, then what? So read that again. This is disgusting to me.
And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him.
Beseech him. Oh, Jesus, put your hand on him. Put your hand on him. Put your hand on him. He doesn't do it. He didn't listen to him. He's listening to the Holy Spirit, and that's in him. Amen?
Amen.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that's in him. Well, you say, he's the Son of God. No, that's the Son of Man that the Son of God is in. The Son of Man is a man. And he kept saying, I'm the Son of Man. But yet, the Father is with me. The Father is in me. The Holy Spirit's in me. I cast out devils by the finger of God, which is the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit, God, is the Spirit, not a ghost. You say, well, it says it in the King James Version. Well, yeah, it does. But somebody got a hold of that and put that God is good. But the Holy, but it also says he's the Holy Spirit, okay? You're not going to be raised up by a ghost. You're going to be raised up by the Spirit, amen?
Amen.
All right, so go ahead.
And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers.
Wait a minute, he didn't put his hands in, he put his fingers in, amen?
Amen.
In what?
Into his ears.
Into his ears. Into him, so that he couldn't outwardly hear. If you put your fingers in your ears, you won't be able to outwardly hear, will you?
No.
So what the Lord was going to do is talk to his spirit like he did to me in the office. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now if your spirit hears, he that has inward ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto your spirit. Because your spirit does have ears. And I found that out in that office when the Lord shut my ears off. I could see through the scripture here that what the Lord did in that office without me notice, he stuck his fingers in my deaf, carnal ears that couldn't hear the gospel. I couldn't hear it. I couldn't believe the gospel. I couldn't. But when he spoke to my spirit, and then he started messing with my spirit by pulling it in and out of my body, and my heart started beating real fast, and I could hear his voice in my spirit billions of times better than I could hear with my carnal ears. But he put his fingers in my ears so that my spiritual ears could open up.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
And it isn't so much that our his carnal ears can hear, it's that we hear in our inside man, the real man, the real one that looks identical to us inside of our body. He put his hands, his spirit, his fingers into my ear, not his hands, and so that my carnal ears couldn't hear. Because I wouldn't hear with my carnal ears. And then he spoke to my spirit, which made me know that, hey, I've got a spirit in me. And, hey, there's God, because nobody could do this but God. And I looked up. I thought that maybe somebody had some device in the office that was talking to me, that was shutting my ears off, maybe some vacuum or some kind of thing with these newfangled things. This happened 42 years ago. Probably in September it'll be 43 years ago. And I couldn't hear the vehicles outside going by anymore. The window was open. It was a beautiful sunshiny day in Beverly Hills, California. I think it was Robertson Boulevard or Cannon Boulevard, I can't remember. The attorney's office was on the second floor, and his windows were open. And the Lord started talking through my feet, my arms, my legs, my chest, everything. And he was saying, I am the Lord thy God. Stand upon your feet and tell these people about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And then he opened up my brain, and I knew there was a heaven and a hell. And all this is, he's got his fingers in my ear. I can't hear anything. I was deaf to the Spirit of the Lord. I was deaf to the Word of God. So he put his finger in my deaf ears. And then he opened up my spiritual ears and said, hey, I'm God. I'm God. And I'm talking to your toes, to every fiber of your spirit, your being, your inward man. And you tell these people this. I don't know the gospel. And how do I know this is not the devil? How do I know that I'm not going crazy? And then he started pulling the breath in and out of my body after a fashion, after he talked to me on two different occasions, showed me there was a heaven and a hell. And then the power of God came down on me so strong that I knew that he knew every grain of sand. I knew he knew every fiber and every carpet, every drapery, every piece of clothing. He knows. People underestimate the knowledge, the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the Lord. He knows everything. He's everywhere. Every fiber of sheetrock, every board, he's everywhere. And that was amazing, that all these things were taught to me at my spiritual ears after my carnal ears were shut off, okay? And so I understood that there is God, and I never believed that before, and that I had a spirit, and I never believed that before. That's why I have so much patience with people that cannot hear this gospel, because I was on the same boat with them 42 and a half years ago. And so that's why I take the time to preach and teach, because the Lord was so merciful to me to show me these things. I consider that merciful. And then the lesser things, well, I see the abundance of every kind of food and water and drink and the abundance of it. And the abundance of all the things that the Lord bestows upon those of us that love and keep his commandments. And then you take the dog, the Gentile, the one that didn't... I was Jewish, but I'm also like I was a Gentile, because even Jews that don't believe in God are Gentiles, according to the scripture. Not all Jews, not all Israel are Israel, but those that believe. A Jew is one that believes in God and believes in the Word, that looks at Jesus face to face, looks at his Word and sees that it's true. And some of the things that are in the Word, it doesn't get as explicit as when it absolutely backs up everything that the Lord does. And right here is the scripture that reminds me of exactly what happened to me in the room. And my tongue, I was dumb. I never spoke the things of the Lord then. But the Lord loosed the string of my tongue, and I'm able to talk about the Lord now. Never could before, never wanted to. But now I don't want to talk about the things of the world. I only want to talk about the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So he made me... to where I wasn't deaf anymore and where I wasn't dumb anymore. So continue on reading.
And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him,
while his fingers are still stuffed in the guy's ears, then what?
Ephatha, that is, be opened.
So he talked to the man's spiritual ears. So that his carnal ears would open so that he could start hearing the Word of God through his carnal ears. And that his carnal ears would pass it on into his spiritual ears. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And straightway his ears were opened.
Amen. Just immediately my ears were opened. After a little argument back and forth with the Lord, and then finally started pulling the breath out of me. And I said, whoa, whether this be the Lord or the devil, I'm going to do what this power is doing unto me. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not going to argue with some being that pulled the breath out of my body within one split second, and there wasn't anything I could do about it. I couldn't put my hand on the top of my head and push my spirit back in. It just went up and down, up and down, up and down, just like he was playing with a yo-yo. And I was a yo-yo, really. Okay? An idiot. Then what?
And the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain.
Yeah, I speak very plain now, don't I, about the
Amen.
Word of God? Nobody can talk as plain as I can about God's word. Not on a consistent basis like this, amen?
Amen.
Or to discern what that word means. And because I had that experience, I understand the scripture very well. And nobody else in my church could understand it until now. I asked them, you want to bring a message about this? They says, no, we don't know what it means. Does that mean, you know, all kinds of different things they said. Okay, then what?
And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it.
Right. Well, the Lord, I told a lot of people, you know, after this happened to me, because, I mean, to me, this was the biggest miracle in the world to me. I was saved very much like the Apostle Paul. He didn't believe in the Lord either until he saw this bright light. And he said, Paul, Paul, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for you to kick up against me, God. It's something as sharp as I am. And he immediately recognized that it was the Lord, amen?
Yeah.
He said, Lord... Amen?
Amen.
And then the Lord started rattling off some instructions for him to go to Ananias' house. And he blinded, that bright light blinded his eyes. And the scales grew on his eyes because of the brightness of the light. He went over to Ananias and said, Lord, the people that were with him, his servants led him over to Ananias' house. And Ananias, God dealt with him before Paul got over there, Saul did. And because he knew, this Ananias knew that he persecuted the Jews, the Christians, really. And so Ananias laid hands on him. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden the scales fell off of his eyes, but he still had a seeing problem. And that's the same thing I have. I have a seeing problem. According to the government, I'm legally blind. I could receive blind pension if I wanted to. But anyway... when we see Jesus, the Word of God, Jesus is the Word of God. When we see Him face to face, that and this fire burn, it opens up your eyes. The Holy Spirit opens up your spiritual ears and loosens your tongues and opens your eyes and everything. I had my eyes open, my ears open, and my tongue loose. I see my time is up, and you too can receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit within you if you are saved. But it isn't just saying a prayer. After you become born again of the Spirit, you'll want to seek the Lord, and the more you do, the more God will bless you. As that woman, the dog, in yesterday's message, where she was a Gentile, and there's a lot of people in church today that are dogs. They're eating the crumbs from the Lord's table because they really don't hear His voice the way that I do. And they're just, they eat the food and they drink the water and they take the blessings that the Lord gives me and they use them because they're users. But the thing is that you can... Not be, you can be a dog, or you can be a son or a daughter of God by accepting the Lord. And you don't have to eat the crumbs from the Lord's table. The Lord doesn't want you to be without. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, and then God will add all of the things that you need to you, for sure, okay?
Amen.
We did for years, and because I was slow to learn, and then the Lord started giving us everything we need, everything we need. So say this prayer to the Lord and mean it with your heart. I'd say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me, because I know now that I'm saved, you're going to give me the power to never sin again. And if I do with, unconsciously, without knowing, ignorantly, then I can still be forgiven for that. Out the door, come in, Lord Jesus, wash all my sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me, and you will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. So just start praising and thanking the Lord, and remember, be baptized in water, get baptized with the Holy Spirit, and continue reading your Bible. If you have any questions, call me at any time, and Sharon will tell you now of four different ways to receive program 326 or any other programs, back programs that you like.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texas, Arcana, Texas 75505. Or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Yeah, the thing that we need to do in these last days is steal away to Jesus. We need to stay before the throne of God, because we're living in a wicked, violent world, a world that's full of terrorists and everything. But that's why you need to live in the coming world, the world, the kingdom of heaven. And you'll have peace beyond imagination, beyond understanding. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow, and you're going to hear another powerful message. This is Peg Springman now saying, steal away.
Trumpet!